So I want to talk about God's perfect work. And there's a lot of scripture. I'm just going to kind of focus on one main idea from each scripture passage. And it lines up a little bit with the song that I sang that was based on these scriptures. But overall, really what I want to talk to you about today is God's great love for you. And part of that great love is God's pursuit of you. In a way, this is a sermon for the confirmation students, for Sarah and Lucas, because that's the very thing they've been focused on this year. But if you are a believer, it's also directed to you, because God has loved you and pursued you. And even if you are not yet a believer, if you are exploring or asking questions about who God is and who Jesus is, this is also a sermon for you, because this is the story, this is the good news of God's work, not something that we have done, but God's work and God's heart to create human life, to love us, even when we turned away, to pursue us in love, and how God has pursued us all the way to where we are through his son, Jesus. So I want to start in Ephesians 1 and simply say this, that God chose you. That's what Ephesians says, that God chose us in Christ, not when you were young, not just before your birth, but before the foundations of the world, God chose you. And if that's hard to wrap your mind around, yes, it is. And I get that. But it's this, that God, when he created the heavens and the earth, there was something very distinct about creating humanity. And it was different than all of the other creation, because God created man and woman in his image, with the dignity of bearing the image of God and all that that entails, including relationship with each other and relationship with God and the ability to have relationship with God and to have an eternal soul. And that choosing of you is God's design to create something, someone like himself. And it's that whole story you can read about in Genesis that even when humanity, Adam and Eve, disobeyed and turned away, God did not wash his hands of us. God did not even turn his back on us, but God came after us. And that should not sound far-fetched, because it's the same thing that good parents, even okay parents, do with their kids, right? You don't stop loving your child the moment anything goes wrong. In fact, we will go to great lengths to continue to pour love into the lives of children. That's a small picture of the great love of God. And God is called blessed because this passage describes God's intent in creating you and me, in creating humanity. And it was born out of God's love. That's the first part of God's perfect work, is that in love he created man and woman and humanity. And nothing we have done in any way diminishes that love for us. In fact, that's the whole story of the Bible, is God's pursuit of us because of the love in which he created us. So God chose you in Christ. And then I want to talk about Philippians 1. There's a lot going on here. We spent a bunch of weeks in Philippians 2, but I want to back up and say two things that are on the screen here, and then a little bit more. There's two things being described here, big theological words for them. One's justification, one's sanctification. And they're kind of captured in this one verse that's a pretty well-known verse, that God, he who began a good work in you, will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. That work, the original work, is making you, creating you, giving you life, giving you breath. But specifically, justification is talking about the saving, the redeeming, the rescuing act of Jesus on the cross. If I said God pursues us in love, that is seen nowhere more completely or more deeply than sending his son to die on the cross. To say, I will take their place, right? I will give to them my holiness, my righteousness to cover over them. So in Christ, that's all a part of that work that God has began. In Christ, dying on the cross, God has said, I will restore what is broken between us. But then this He will perfect it. He will continue to grow us and deepen us and make us more and more holy and more Christ-like. That's what sanctification means. And all of that's contained there in Philippians. And that's a lot of what we focused on in confirmation this year. Is yes, there's this act on the cross that God has, in love, made it possible for you to be reconciled with Him. He has never given up on you and always come after you. And that's seen there in Christ on the cross. But that's just the beginning. That would be enough. But God does that and more. He says, not only do I rescue you, right, for life, but I give to you life. And so God stays involved with us day after day. And part of the confirmation conversation was, do you want to be a part of that? Do you want to follow Jesus Christ? Be a part of what God has in store for you. Also in this passage, it's something we've talked about in the last couple of weeks, specifically on Mother's Day, that God uses ordinary people like you and me to pass on the faith. Right? There is God's holy word. There's the act of Christ on the cross, but it is God's pleasure to use ordinary men and women, ordinary boys and girls to share faith. We talked about that in confirmation class this morning. We had them do the credo, the statement of this is what I believe, but also a testimony of this is my story. Right? And God is pleased to use both of those together to say here is truth, but here is also the story of eyewitnesses who knew Jesus, who saw his death, saw his resurrection, to use people like you and me to say to one another, here's my story, and to be encouraged in that. So that's why, as part of our retreat, Zach and I shared our testimony. And it's part of why we asked the students to write their story, in as much as it's happened up to, you know, this age, to say, this is what God has done in my life. And that's part of how God grows faith. So a few weeks ago, we talked about the role of spiritual mothers and fathers and spiritual grandparents and spiritual siblings. That part of God's mission for us is to tell the story of faith. Not just pass on the truth, not just have classes that impart knowledge, but have relationships that impart the testimonies to each other to encourage faith. And that's a hopeful word for me, right? You don't have to be some sort of guru to share the faith. God uses ordinary people in all of our quirkiness and weaknesses and mistakes and uneven lives. God uses that to encourage one another. And then a second hope that is contained in these verses is that God is not finished with any of us, and God has not given up on any of us. But this sanctification, this growing us up and continuing to grow us up in faith, is a lifelong process. That's hopeful, right? Because there's some days I would feel like I'm a lost cause. But God says, no, you are my, not only your lifelong project, but God's eternal project of love, right? To pursue us and to relate to us, right? It's relational. And then thirdly, Romans 12 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It is not how well we follow Christ that determines how much God loves us or our salvation or any kind of hall of fame in heaven. There's no such thing. But what God does invite is for us to participate in what he's doing. To say, come along, right? And do it with all your heart. It's not to be graded. It's not to earn anything, but it's to joyfully do something with the God we love. And that turns on its head so much of how we hear about Christianity, right? So this is my best attempt to kind of summarize what's going on in Romans, that our commitment to God helps us see and understand God's commitment to us. It all starts back to that bit where we started today, with God's love for us. And because of God's love, his pursuit of us. And because of his pursuit, his rescue of us, right? And part of that is, hey, come be a part of what I'm doing. That you belong to my holy family. You are my adopted sons and daughters. You belong to me. Call me Father. Call me Abba Father. And Romans 12 invites that. So I have one more screen that kind of puts that all up in one place. The what does Scripture teach us? God created us with purpose out of his love. God intervened for salvation. That's the pursuit, again, out of love. God continues to be involved in our lives. It's because of love. And our part is to respond and take part and participate in obedience. And that's where it falls, right? So many times we flip that up to the top. Say, if I'm a good follower, then God will want me, God will love me, God will save me. But no, it's the bottom. God initiates all of this and loves us and chases us and invites us. And we say, yeah, I want to be a part. That work of God, that's what is perfect. And then finally, to the confirmation students, and this will be to you, but you can all listen in. God has pursued you. That's what I want you to hear today. God has pursued you in Christ because he loves you. And he's done it through friends and family in this church, and not just your biological family, but this family. I mean, what a blessing to have a family this size, right, who love you and who tell you those stories. And today, you have responded in faith. You've done that before in many ways, and you will continue to respond in faith all of your life. But this day marks a very significant moment. So as I prayed for you, I challenge you to remember your baptism, right? And the whole point of that is to show God's love to you. You were babies or super young. You didn't know what was going on. God loved you. Your parents loved you. They did this thing that they could tell you about, remind you about years later, that you can now say, yes, I claim that. I confirm what God has been doing all my life. And then the Romans challenge that you've said yes to already is to choose a life of following Christ, knowing that God goes with you, right? You're not proving yourself to God. God's walking with you, supporting you, giving you strength, cheering for you the whole way because you're a part of what he's doing in the world. And of course, that's the same word to each of us as well. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for a love that does not give up on us or turn away from us. Thank you for a love for each person in this room and beyond this room, that you desire that we know you, that we come to know you, that we trust you, that we are in relationship with you. Help us to be a people that share that story easily and with joy. Don't go out beating people over the head with truth, but that woo and invite and win people to know you through our lives and the joy in it. And Lord, even through the sorrow in our life, that people might see the hope that we have in you. I do pray for Sarah and Lucas, for each one in this room, for people who have trusted you for a long time, who people who may be exploring and still seeking you. For each of us, the message is the same. You love us. Help us to hear that, to take it to heart, to respond in faith. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.